know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it seems of glory, I sing the new song. 'Twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. And as we worship today, we have a bulletin there, I trust, again, and there's some information in there. In fact, I put my message in there, so how do you say you don't even need to pay attention today? It's in notes in there, and I'm always concerned when I use one of these devices to do my Sunday messages that my battery's going to die right in the middle of a message, so I thought I'd print it out, and then I liked it printed out so much that I thought I'm going to go ahead and give you all a copy as well. So let's go ahead and look on the back there someplace. Should be the Thanksgiving Proclamation. Again, as we're headed into Thanksgiving this week, I rejoice that even though we are living in a country that's got a very socialist, progressive bent to it again, and Satan seems to be having his way and, again, winning great victories in our nation. And I don't know if we're going to come back. I really don't. Again, once they again start passing laws, I guess the House passed another one of its spending bills. Once those spending bills get in place, they're all steps, again, towards socialism that you can't step back from. Once you start giving people free things, and then you say, hey, we're going to go back to the way it ought to be, and you take them away from it, it never works well again. So, again, our nation is taking steps down a communist, anti-God country. And for me, it's encouraging to go back and, well, it can be pretty discouraging, I suppose, to read the proclamations. If you've, every year, the president pardons turkeys. But that ain't the important thing, again, that happens here at Thanksgiving. They make a Thanksgiving proclamation. And so all of them, by the way, are online. You can check it out. I think it's at thanksgiving.org. Has all of the presidential proclamations all the way back. I didn't count them all. But I did go back and notice that we've had several presidents that give presidential proclamations without mentioning a creator, without mentioning God, several of them, without mentioning the Father, without mentioning, again, God's providence, as was done, again, in the early proclamations. Obama, his first 2 years, made his Thanksgiving proclamation and never once mentioned the name of God or the title of God or made any reference to God, and then he took heat for that, and so the next year, I think it was the third year, he made a proclamation, and he said that we exist under God's graces. That was the only reference he made to God, and so we've had some godless presidents. I was hoping they'd get our current president's proclamation up, and I'd look at that, but that would just, I'm sure, feed more discouragement in us. It's encouraging to me to go back every year, and I've done this now for 20 years, and read the proclamation that's in front of us here. And I want you to notice how timeless this is. I mean, this could have been written today for our society if we had a politician with the guts to say these things. And so, by the way, I did read Trump's, and he quoted some of Abe Lincoln's. He quotes some of George Washington's in his declaration, so he's got four proclamations, I mean, of Thanksgiving on there that I was pleased with. But probably you and I, nobody else was pleased with anything that Trump said or did. Let's look at this proclamation then of Thanksgiving from Abraham Lincoln, written in 1863. And watch the tenor of this as we read through it. It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. We know that by His divine law, nations, like individuals, are subject to punishments and chastisements in their world. May we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war which now desolates the land may be a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins. To the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined, in the deceitfulness of our hearts, that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with the unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and persevering grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. What a tremendous declaration. Father, praise You. Thank You that we can worship in this free country. Thank You again for Your word, that we can look at it now again and be strengthened and encouraged in our thanksgiving. And I'll praise You again and thank You for Your touch on our worship, on our service, on our love for You, and especially on this week that we walk through. Father, that You put in us thankful hearts. We'll give You the praise. In the name of Christ we'd ask. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. I've got several messages that I'd like to preach this morning, all of them on Thanksgiving, and I can't fit them all in, so I'm going to give a little snippet of each one as best I can. The one before you, again, in the bulletin that we've got today, has several verses. We'll try to get time to go through all of them as time slips away here, but look with me at Romans chapter 1, and I have in the margin of my Bible here a picture of a stairwell and a walking away from God. I don't want to go through each of the steps, but I do want to emphasize the first couple steps. Start with me at verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. Follow along in your Bible as I would read. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Notice two things there again, that it is revealed from God, and that it's gotten onto all men, even those, or especially those, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. All of man has a knowledge that there is a God, and that, again, they're not in good standing with Him. And so, again, that's a knowledge that God says here. It's revealed to all men. Doesn't matter whether you're from the darkest jungles of the Amazon or the darkest jungles of Chicago. Doesn't matter where you're from. You have a knowledge of God. John 1 says, again, that the light shined into this world and lit the heart of every man. I like having a Bible where you can trust every word again. And when my Bible says that every man is lit with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, again, you could put it down that even the atheist who pretends there is no God, who was trained in his education to say there is no God, that he knows there is a God. That's why they spend so much time fighting against a God that they think doesn't exist. Because down inside they know, when they pillow their head at night, they know there is a God. Robert Ingersoll knew there was a God. And so here, notice again that God has made aware to all men that there is a God. And then verse 19 says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Now pause right here. The verse does not say that people know there's a God because of creation. I've heard a lot of people preach that or teach that or think that. That creation teaches them that there's a God. That's not what this verse says. This verse says that God revealed to them that there is a God, and they have known it ever since creation. That when He created man in His image and in His likeness, He created within man a knowledge that there is a God, and I'm made in His likeness. And so, this is not to teach that creation tells us what we need to know about God. Now, certainly, especially the week of hunt season here, we enjoy creation again. And some of us go out and sit in it for hours. I praise the Lord for the Cranmers gave me a little thermal coat and pants. And I, for the first time in years and years, I sat out from 7 in the morning until 10 in the morning. I've never done that. I'm usually, my bones are old and aching and freezing and shivering. So, sorry. Don't let me get off track here again. I'll go hunting with you several times this morning. So anyway, it says here again that these things are manifest in them, and God hath showed it unto them, and they knew it ever since creation of the world. These things are clearly seen. Then it says, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. In other words, man has revealed inside of his soul the eternal Godhead and power of God Almighty. And that Godhead, speaking of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that's the whole thing. The existence of a God. And then look at the haunting clause at the end of verse 20, so that they are without excuse. Man is without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And then look at this next clause here. These are stair steps that lead away from a knowledge of God. Step one, again, is that they knew God. That's the top layer. stepped down one step, they glorified him not as God. Stepped down the second step, neither were thankful. I've preached this message several times where this whole staircase goes down and down and down and down. And nations go down this staircase, and people go down this staircase, and groups go down this staircase. But again, when we hit the bottom, we have the ability to turn around and see where we're at. Praise God Almighty. He'll show us and He'll bring us right back up. If you turn this staircase right around, you go right back to the top. And notice again, before you could get to that top step, you are going to put on a thankful heart. Thanksgiving is part of being saved and growing in the knowledge of God. And in everything, give thanks. We're told all through the Bible about the benefits of thankfulness, of praising God. With thankfulness and supplications, let your requests be made known unto God. And so we need a thankfulness in our heart. And notice here again that it produces. I got another message I preached. I think I looked at the outline of it here. I think I put that back up on the internet. I took all the copyrighted pictures out of it and put it up on the internet. It's amazing what praising will do. And I talked again about the fact in that message that it'll change your body physically. It changes those little, what did we call them last week? Endorphins in your brain. It'll change your body chemistry. You don't have to shoot it into your nerve with a needle or your arm with a needle. And again, you don't have to pop it as a mind-altering pill. That's sold every time the news is on. They're selling mind-altering drugs to people. And so again, understand that, hey, God's got the solution here for all of our problems, and it is connected with this idea that it's amazing what praising will do. It cures depression. I got a whole series in my anger management course that says, hey, you just need to learn to praise God. It'll cure anger management. And in fact, any of our dispositions, our mood, our emotions, anytime we have a problem in there, listen, it is amazing what praising will do. And count your many blessings is good therapy. And so again, here, notice again that it's right there at the top rung again. And the next rung up is to recognizing who God is. And then we're back, right back to the top step with a knowledge of God. So I won't go further on that staircase except again to recognize that, boy, that's important. Let's look at some verses now about praising God on this Thanksgiving. I won't have you turn to these. I think I listed most of them in the bulletin if I could fit them. In Lamentations, the Bible says it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Psalm 68 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of all our salvation, Selah. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father with lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Matthew 6 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Psalms 90 says, so teach us to number our days. I call this the birthday psalm. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And then 1 Peter 4 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I've got a blurb here on holidays. I've put this together and think, boy, there's some truth in that. Let me just review it with you. Holidays force us, I hope, to stop and think about life. you get a time off work. Some of you got too much time off work already again, but some of us retired people. But listen, when you get time off work, again, it causes us to stop and think, I hope, and to take that time in celebrating a holiday to what's going on here. And it forces us to reflect, I hope it does. And Christmas, we reflect on family together and gifts and loved one and the gift of God and God's so great salvation. New Year's, we look at plans and past and the future and our goals and our progress, our aspirations and our purpose here on this earth. And I trust we look at His salvation. Of course, Easter, we God's only begotten Son we look at, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His salvation. On Memorial Day, we look at those departed and the price of freedom and liberty, remembering again His salvation because He gave His life for our soul. On the 4th of July, independence and one nation under God and a nation who's chose God, salvation of a nation. On Labor Day, going through the year here, we're back to school, back to work, back to schedule, back to the beginning of a new work year. On Thanksgiving, for the past 50 years now, I've been asked, this, I wrote this 10 years ago, so I'm afraid it's like 60 now, maybe 70. For the past 70 years now, I have been asked to recite something that I am most thankful for. And of course, number one on the list was mentioned by Barb this morning, His salvation. Never get over the fact that He saved you. The greatest gift that we've ever seen. The greatest thing that happens in our life. It was great when I got married, praise the Lord, 50 years ago. But even then, the greatest thing in my life was His salvation. The first Thanksgiving was observed in 1621 by pilgrims and Indians in Plymouth Colony in Massachusetts. It was decreed by Governor William Bradford. It was a day of feasting and expression of gratitude for the harvest. George Washington issued the first national proclamation of a Thanksgiving Day in 1879. Abraham Lincoln, largely through the crusading efforts of Miss Sarah J. Hale, editor of Golden Ladies, or Gaudy's Ladies book. This is from a liberal encyclopedia, and they had to get something about women's rights in here, so they threw that in there. In 1863, made it a national holiday and fixed the day as the last Thursday in November. Congress in 1941 set it as the fourth Thursday. The turkey, a Native American bird, and pumpkin pie are among the foods traditionally eaten at Thanksgiving because they were eaten at that first Thanksgiving, by the way. In Canada, the day is observed on the second Monday in October, and that's from, again, the encyclopedia. So what things are you thankful for? And I put a starter list here, and it's in your bulletin, of things that we ought to be thankful for. They include the who, what, when, where, why, and how of life. So you ought to be thankful for who you are. I'm thankful for the family that I was born in. I'm thankful again that I didn't spend time trying to find myself. That I didn't spend my time trying to be somebody else. And a lot of people do. A lot of people are tangled in that. But I praise the Lord again for who I am. God made me. Look at Psalm 139:13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Anyone's ever ridden a horse, you know what reins are. If you won't get on the horse, back on the old buckboard, behind the horse, you had a set of reins again. These are the same thing, only God's holding these reins. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalm 22, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. Psalm 22:10. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Psalm 58:3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Psalm 127 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. A child in the womb is a child. The scriptures, certain. Verse 6 says, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. We ought to be thankful for who we are. We ought to be thankful for what you are. Be thankful. What God enabled you to become, not so much what you got. Lots of times our thanksgiving is related to things. I put in here a quote from a larger mind than mine that says, small minds talk about things. Great minds talk about ideas. Praise the Lord for what you are as a steward of this earth, yea, more so, a steward of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're a born-again Christian. Praise the Lord again for when you were born. A couple verses there, Psalm 50 we just read, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. But we ought to be thankful for when you are born. May you live in interesting times. I've mentioned that as a Chinese curse, and we sure live in interesting times right now. Praise the Lord for the conveniences we have in this world. It's been said, and I believe it wholeheartedly, that my grandpa had more work in his little finger than I have in my whole life again. The conveniences that we have and the buttons that we have to push in life. And then praise the Lord for God's timeline. You could have been born in India. You could have been born in North Korea where they're killing Christians even today. You could have been born in China that's under a godless government, which Joe Biden wants to bring us under, by the way. Praise the Lord for where or when you were born. Praise the Lord for where you were born. Be thankful. Here we are in one nation under God, the greatest nation on earth. There was a nation again that was promised to become great. The nation of Israel was God's chosen nation. And this nation that we're in chose God to be its God. A mere 200 some years later, and we're kicking him out of that position. But again, as we understand here, we are in one nation under God, the greatest nation ever made. If you've ever traveled to Haiti, you, like Bev and I, would get off the plane when you got back and kiss the ground. If you've traveled to any third world country, you'd understand why our grandkids talk about this being a first world country, not a third world country. Here we are in America. We need to be thankful even today. I got several articles there about religions and the persecutions and the lives that are lost in China and France and Russia, in Nigeria and in India, and in North Korea. In this article on the website that I put up in Yemen. Praise the Lord for why you are born. The Bible is the only book that authoritatively answers three questions. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. I love this verse. It is in the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's altogether fitting, again, as it closes out the church age and begins here in the age of judgment of the coming kingdom age. And John, after he was caught up to heaven to show him things that must shortly be hereafter, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 9, let's begin there and read down through 11. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders, 12 of those elders are representative of the apostles and the church, 12 of those elders are representative of the nation of Israel, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, verse 11, gives your purpose in life, and it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Why you were born. And so as we consider these things, how are we going to walk like that? In everything, give thanks. How are you going to walk like that? Rejoice evermore. How are you going to walk like that when you hear of cancer, when you hear of death, when you hear of things happening in this world even that affect us? How are you going to walk like that? Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at that in closing. Philippians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. We quote part of this, but not all of it normally. So let's start in verse 11. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When we're told to rejoice evermore, when we're told to in everything give thanks, we can do that in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God, of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you we could worship on this day. Thank you for health and strength we'd have to be here, and pray that you'd be with those that had a want to be here but couldn't today. And pray now again, Father, that you'd accept our worship. Touch these scriptures. Touch our thanksgiving this week in a special way. And we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we ask. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's dismiss with that same chorus we started with. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. And put on an air of thanksgiving for the week. And let's just again spend our time in thanksgiving. For making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky, for flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for my home and family, for the friends that you've given me, the shoes on my feet. Plenty to eat. Thank you, Lord, for this church to worship and pray, for the freedom I have today. Sweet Spirit, I feel your presence so real. Thank you, Lord, for being a friend so dear, giving my sad cheer, for holding my hand when I could not stand. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me on the cross of Calvary, for taking my place, mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless you for being in church today. Greet one another with a holy kiss. No, don't do that. Okay?